guys, how's it going? Welcome to the Naeem Fazel podcast. We are here. I got Naeem in the house.
Yo, yo.
What's up, Naeem? How you doing today?
I'm good, man. Really good.
Awesome.
Hey, I want to kick off by saying, though, congratulations. The whole giveaway thing was a great idea.
Yeah, it was a really good idea. Whoever came up with that.
Yeah, that was you, right?
I don't remember like details about who came up with it, but whoever did,
I think that was such a great idea.
Probably,
we should
like,
do that again.
Really, really smart.
Yeah, super smart and good looking.
And good looking and like just wise.
Wise, kind, humble. Tall. with a football career.
Yeah.
Ex-Marine.
Ex-Marine. You're describing another person right now.
Famously huge architect.
The best artist to ever live. That's the title that I want on my tombstone someday.
Yes. Vinny Candelare. All right.
Did I hear you say you want to do this giveaway again, though?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's do the book giveaway again.
Awesome.
Again. Cool. Let's do that again. So what is the why, right? Why should we do a book giveaway?
Yeah, I mean, this time it was your idea to do it again. So why do you want to do it?
I don't know. Pick up sales for the book? Maybe that's why.
Dude, we are brutally honest on this podcast. No.
But, oh man.
I think it's obviously to put your book out there, but also it helps us not only give away stuff, have fun with you guys, but it also helps us spread the word.
Yeah,
of this podcast.
Of course.
So if you guys go on the most recent post. If you're listening to this now or you follow Naeem, you may have already seen this post on his page. The most recent one that has his book in it that we'll be doing a giveaway for. Go ahead on there, comment, tag someone, and we want to get some more listeners on this podcast. We want to, you know, spread the word about your book.
Yes.
Spread the word about just everything God's doing in and through Naeem and
you, bro.
And let me finish. And more through, you know,
more.
He's doing more through me.
Because there's so much more to do.
I'm very humble. Shut it, bro.
All right. So, hey, this episode, I want to continue kind of the conversation that we had from last time. Obviously, you know, I'm pretty saddened by the fact that Kanye and Beth canceled on us.
Well, they're running late.
They're running late.
They just texted me. And
wow, Kanye, your special effects.
Yeah.
Suck.
And Kanye said, hey, bro, Sunday service coming up quick. Sunday's coming fast. I got to get ready
for it. Let's stop lying. Okay, so they were never going to come. We never asked them. So we never got the rejection letter.
Tweeted
anyways,
them.
That's the best thing to do with rejection. Never ask. Never put yourself out there.
I don't know if you know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so just jump in. What I want to do is I want to have a conversation about something that we talked about last week. It's connected. Basically, the future of the church. Now, what does that mean? The future of the church. So I was talking to a guy recently, and he walked into one of our campuses, Metro, and he said, I came in and I saw something that I hadn't seen before. And I said, what is that? He said this, and I quote, I saw a church that could handle the issues of our culture.
Hmm.
And I thought, huh? I said, what do you mean? He said, you know, sometimes, I go to churches and this guy has been involved in church work, older, wiser guy. But anyways, he's just said, hey, I go to churches and sometimes I walk in and or leave or attend or be a part. And I don't know if the church and that this group of people over here, number one, understand what's going on in the rest of the world because, you know, we can live in a bubble.
Yeah.
They don't understand the culture or don't have the tools, techniques, language, the heart, the grace, the knowledge, the know-how to actually address the issues of the world. Yeah. And he said, when I walked in, at the end of the service, I thought, wow, this church can handle the issues of our culture. And out of all the 13 years of being in and doing Mosaic, that was one of the best compliments I'd ever received about a church.
Yeah.
Man.
That's awesome.
What does that look like? And so I just thought, I think it's important for us to have a conversation about what does the future of the church look like?
Yeah.
Because I think that... and when I mean church, I don't mean like institutions. I mean like people who call themselves, you know, Jesus followers, you know, including Kanye, people like him.
Yep.
What is the future look like? And I wonder if the church, the present church, has the courage to actually step into what the future of the church could look like. Because I think for a majority of church people, We're trying to go backwards. We are either trying to keep something sacred.
Like preserve it.
Yeah. What we think is that if we keep something from the past, it's sacred. That's not true. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would mean that anything I keep for a long time and it's rotting is sacred.
Yeah.
My trash is definitely not sacred. I mean, it smells like holy moly, yeah. You know, whatever. But no, it's not sacred. We think it's sacred because it has a past. Well, everything has a past. Mm-hmm. And so the church has a past.
There has to be a better reason to preserve something than just the fact that it's been here for a while.
Of course. And you know what's interesting, though, is when we talk about Jesus and the movement of Jesus in the church, what we realize is that the movement of Jesus moves, and it's always moving. Yeah. And what that means is like, you know, in Islam, you know, I grew up, the epicenter of Islam is still the epicenter of Islam, which means that it started in the Middle East, it stays in the Middle East. The most number of people who live in the Middle East are Muslims. It's not the case with the movement of Jesus. Started in the Middle East, in Jerusalem, you know, in that area. And guess what? The majority of people are not followers of Jesus. And it's kept on moving and moving and moving. It hit the U.S. and hit the Western world, you know, I would say maybe 50, 100 years ago, but it has moved on. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that Jesus is not doing his work and the Holy Spirit is gone. No, I'm not saying that. But you can see the wind of God, as Jesus said, coming and going through South America, going through the Middle East, and then all of a sudden you have this burst of people coming to faith in Jesus, and the movement of Jesus moves, which means God moves. Mm-hmm. I know.
Yeah.
It means progress. It means forward.
Yeah.
God is not like, can we just go back? Can we make something? And I hate to say it, it's not supposed to be political, but can we make it great again?
Yeah.
Like, there is no again. The past was not great.
Yeah.
The future is great. Mm-hmm. Because and when you think about it, faith, hope, love, those three essential things only find themselves truly expressed in future, not in past.
Wow.
Because I mean, you don't need faith for the past.
Yeah.
It was.
Yep.
You don't need even love for the past because it is what it is, and you know exactly what it is, and you can dislike it, love it, but love is a risk. And hope, you don't need hope for the past.
Yeah.
What you need hope is for the future. Mm-hmm. What you need faith for is the future. What you need love for is the future. Because all of these are stepping into unknown, stepping into abstract, stepping into courageously, stepping into things that are just, you know, one sense, dark and moving forward. You know, love is really love when you choose to love when everything else says go back. Mm-hmm. You move forward.
Yeah.
You know, so does the church have the courage to actually move forward? Because I get it. It's so much easier to just preserve the past. Yeah. It's so much easier to go, hey, let's go back to, you know, how it used to be. Let's go back to those. And we, and I say we because I call myself a Christian, obviously, and part of the church. We will romanticize the past.
Yeah. Just like reminisce on all the good times.
Yeah. It's not as cool as it was.
Yeah.
It really wasn't. It's not. The future is cooler.
Yeah.
You know, and this is a cool theory, but what does that mean? What that means is us really understanding that there is so much ambiguity and so much insecurity that we have to push forward in trying to figure out, okay, so this message of Jesus, does it apply to all people? Does it really apply to people who are super complicated? Mm-hmm. Does it apply to a segment of people? What does that even look like? Mm-hmm. It is a very scary thought, even as a church planter, a guy who started a church from scratch and is moving forward. You know, Mosaic, what does that even look like? Because the future of what churches look like, I think there's so much, in a sense, not instability, but just ambiguity. Like, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
Because as generations, as they progress, every population groups has a different set of values, different set of ideals, right? And based on that, it forms the church. Mm-hmm. So what the baby boomers formed as a church, mm-hmm. And that's, I know this is just a like an American conversation of baby boomers, you know, but what does that look like? Because the next generation, generation X,
yeah.
Y, Z, I mean, what yeah. are they thinking? Totally because I different. Can tell you there's a big difference between what
yeah.
my son, Asher, who's 15, thinks about what the church should look like mm-hmm. and what I have known for it to look like.
Yeah. And why do you think it's important to not only just embrace what's going on now, but like look, what do you think is more important? Embracing what is going on now or trying to forecast what is going to happen 10 years from now in the next generation? Because I think like, what you're saying is the people in the baby boom, all that generation, they were focused on what was happening then and there. And that's how their church grew in that moment. But what they did, they lacked was forecasting or caring about after us what matters. And so they died out
mm-hmm.
or they mm-hmm. just tried to preserve that
right.
moment. So for us, if this, you know, this person walked into Metro, shout out Metro, by the way, and said, you know, I see a church that can handle the issues of our culture right now. How do you continue that? How do you continue to be that church that 20 years from now, people don't walk into Metro and say, they were great in 2020 right. because they knew all the issues going right. on in 2020, but they got stuck in that. And then how do we not romanticize 2020 Mosaic and what's happening yeah. and how we're current?
Yeah.
Because great it's question. Not important
great in question.
2040.
Yeah, great question. You know, I think of CrossFit when I think of that. Okay, so strangely enough, like I've been doing that CrossFit for several years now. And one thing I've realized is that the guy, the CrossFitter I was the first couple of years mm-hmm. is very different from the CrossFitter I am right now. Now, I'm in better shape and, you know, I do better at the WODs, at the workouts, but not just because I'm in better shape. It's not that. It's because I have evolved in my thinking of what I really know, understand the workouts to be. At first, I start off really passionate. So I go all out, full on, 100%. You know, red line, everything. And so even if it was like a 2-minute workout or a 5-minute workout or a, you know, 15-minute workout, 20-minute, I would go after a 25-minute workout. I would start as fast as I would a 2-minute, 25, you know, 3-minute workout, which is Grace, which is a workout, which is like, you know, anyways, you're supposed to do it really fast. And, mm-hmm. and there's some of these workouts are like 6 minutes long, 5 minutes long, things like that. But you go 100% right from the beginning mm-hmm. because you know you're ending in 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah.
At first, what I would do is, so excited, I'd go 100% not understanding that, by the way, this is a 25-minute workout. The Church of Jesus starts off, and passionate people start off, and even church planters or just us, I think... We don't understand that when Jesus said 2,000 years ago, you know, hey, keep doing this. I'm going to return soon. His soon has been 2,000 years. Yeah. So when people get all like worked up about everything,
yeah.
they go at 90%. What they don't understand, which every generation doesn't understand is that there will be a time when no one will remember you. And you have to be okay with that.
Yeah.
And so just remember to live your life that way. No one is going to care. really. I mean, I like, you know, I coming to faith here and now in the US and you know, now in Charlotte, right? It's the epicenter, in a sense, of the Billy Graham Association, mm-hmm. which they do great work, right? Billy Graham. Okay. Huge name, what a name, legacy, all that good stuff. Okay. I can tell you, in my world, or even not just because I'm from a different country and all that, but even my age group, right? My kid, my daughter, could give two hoots about Billy Graham. Yeah. She's not going to know. She might read up about him and then go, okay, we visit the library and that's great. And you can make a monument mm-hmm. about something, which is, it's, I mean, it is what it is, whatever. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is, it doesn't affect my life. Mm-hmm. It doesn't affect my, sometimes people in the history books stay in the history books.
Yeah.
And so all that to say, that when it comes to the future of the church, we have to understand that this is a long road. Mm-hmm. Like the church of Jesus is just starting. I get it that some of us are not even able to grasp that, oh my goodness, there will be life going on hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years after we are dead and gone.
Yeah.
But I hear every generation says, we're living in the last days. Do you know who said that? The first century church. We're living in the last days.
Yeah.
And then thousands of years passed. And now guess what? We're living in the last days. For the love, stop it.
So you're telling me I can throw away my sign? I was going to stand on the side of the street. And just,
the end is
near. The end is near.
Yeah.
I was going to do that after this.
You don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that.
What else am I going to do all day now?
And here's the beauty of it. We just don't even know. So life, like people say, oh, life is a marathon. So you're saying that Christianity is a sprint and it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. Actually, it's not true. Just like life. Life is not a sprint, it's not a marathon. Did you know that?
No, I've always used that saying.
So it's not.
Tell me why I'm wrong, because I...
I'll tell you why I think we're all wrong. Life is a series of sprints in a marathon.
Huh.
So this is what happens. You sprint, and then you stop. And you sprint, and then you stop. And you sprint, and you stop.
It's like football.
Okay.
It's not like soccer. Like soccer, you run all the time. You never stop.
Football,
you run 6 seconds.
First of all, what is football actually? Because the football you're talking about is the fake football. No. Football.
Yeah, that's football.
Football, okay.
I say football.
First of all, you guys don't even use your feet. You don't even use your feet to test the ball. So, except the one time you guys kicked. That's ridiculous. Give yourself a different name. Handball.
We're not handball.
You guys should be handball.
There is a handball already. We're hit each other's in the head ball.
Do that.
That's what we
are. But do not call it football. Anyways, regardless of that. But even in soccer, right? Even in soccer, it's a series of sprints.
Mm.
It's a series of sprints. In soccer, you have to be able to run a lot. But if you can't sprint really quick, I mean, I played soccer for a while. I mean, I was just a sprint guy. Mm-hmm. I could sprint really fast and then I'd die. But in church work, in the life of the church, we have to understand that what we're moving towards is we're building and we need to be passionate and move forward and build the church and all that. And it is a sprint to the finish. But that's not the finish. It's really a marathon of sprints. It's a marathon of sprints. So what does that mean? I mean, when it comes to our issues and what we're passionate about, understanding if this is going to keep on going for a long time, what do I need to be passionate about that does not kill the movement?
Mm-hmm.
That, because here's going back to your the question about what does every generation need to do? Because are we going to get to a point as Mosaic to romanticize? Are we going to become people that, oh well, it was amazing back in that day, and then the future church is something that we don't like? I mean, how can we stay relevant? It's understanding. It's understanding that right now we're going hard after the things that we need to go to, and we're dealing with the issues that are right in front of us, mm-hmm. and moving forward with that, knowing all along that I am going to give this up to my son. I'm going to give this up to my grandson. I'm going to give that up. I mean, even the scripture says a wise man prepares and leaves a legacy, and not for his children, but his children's children.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means is that we have to understand as church people, as we're moving passionately forward and making an effort and making, reaching the world, just remember, this is going to keep on going. So let's not leave the church where we drop the ball. It's like a relay, right? It's like the relay race. It's one in the transition. It's one in the passing the baton.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can have like same speed, runners.
Yeah.
And if they fumble on the pass,
mm-hmm.
they lose some really,
yeah,
you know, solid momentum. And I feel like that's what's been happening, is that it seems like even now I'm going to say this just because I you know, this is the American church, because that's all I've known. But it seems like we sprint hard to make all these gains, and then we just fumble it. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't pass the baton really well. And the next generation has to reinvent all over again.
All that momentum.
Because we have to now convince all those people, again, that we could have just, you know, set things in motion, had values that communicates mm-hmm. that we are going to go on forever here. Mm-hmm. That we're going to create principles. We're going to work in. At such a pace, at such a grace, that this is going to go on forever. This is going to go on for a long, long time.
Yeah.
I think that would be the difference. That means, practically, I'm not saying I'm going to do X, Y, Z because this is great for Mosaic. I'm saying, is this great for the kingdom? Mm-hmm. Is what we're doing right now good for the kingdom, not just for my church?
Right.
Is it good for God's church? Mm-hmm. Because the truth is, my church is a language that, yeah, you know, Christians, yeah, use, right? Which only God could use.
Yeah. My church.
Right.
That's funny. Yeah, that's awesome, man.
I know, it's I'm glad you threw up on it, right?
No, that's so good. I mean, you know, it's relevant. There's a lot of churches. There's a lot of places that you can go. And it's focused on the right now. It's focused,
yeah,
on the past.
It is. And you know, I just recently was at a breakfast for a nonprofit organization that has Christian values and is making a huge difference in the urban youth here with middle school, high school mentors. It's kind of like a big sister, you know. It's called Urban Promise. Hmm. And anyways, great work. And I just stopped and thought, wow, this is the church at work.
Yeah.
And I would never call it a church.
Church, yeah.
But it is. It is the church at work.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I think when I think of churches, I think of organizations that have a Sunday morning service.
Yeah.
And I wonder if God's like, I don't think that. So what does that look like?
Yeah.
What does that mean? And are we courageous enough to step into it? And are we courageous enough to relook at some of the things we've always believed to be true? Because I will tell you this. I mean, and I think we talked about it in the last podcast. If his thoughts are higher than mine, then I have to get used to being wrong. Mm-hmm. And I don't like wrong.
I know.
So, me either. Hope this has been helpful.
That's great. It's good stuff, man. So, yeah, I mean, like we said earlier, Kanye is not here, but they are building a Kanye West library. I heard right next to the Billy Graham library.
You are lying.
Yeah. They're going to have animatronics in there of him on stage. You know. You
are the worst.
I'm sorry.
Billy Graham Association,
yeah,
is hearing this. These comments don't reflect.
Listen, I think that they need to think about the future of the church
in
Kanye West's library.
Oh,
you know.
Okay, first of all, I think Kanye will probably build something in Wyoming. He bought some a huge farm. He's gonna do something there.
Okay.
So,
all right, I'm moving to Wyoming.
Nice knowing you. Hey, by the way, guys, I am looking for a host for the Naeem
podcast. We have a little static on the podcast. Can't hear you over there, Naeem. Anyways, cool. Well, hey, thanks for listening, guys. We love doing this, and we want to keep doing it. So a couple ways that you can help us.
Yes.
Subscribe, comment on
all
of our stuff. Share the podcast. Just tell one friend about the podcast. Text them. You can go to Spotify or iTunes, and you can actually like click share podcast, and it'll give you options. It'll say, do you want to text this to someone? Do you want to message this on Facebook to someone? Do you want to post this on your Facebook account? Do you want to post this to your Instagram story? Whatever. Go to the podcast, hit the share button and send it to at least one friend. Yeah. And let's spread this thing.
Yeah. And I, you know, people have asked me about like, what is the name Name Fossil podcast? And I'm like, well, it's about Name Fossil. As I'm talking, I'm like, what does that mean? Yeah. But I think it really is like, is it a leadership podcast? Not really. I don't even know if I know anything about leadership, but it is a
bad path. That's where you're leading us.
That's it. It's a podcast about having just a different view on what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Yeah. And that's really what it is. So if you know people in your world, I know there are people who either are atheists, people from different religions that listen to the podcast. So I appreciate that. Love that. Yeah. And cool. Yeah.
Enter the giveaway, right? Part two.
Yeah. Yeah. Get the book.
Enter the giveaway. Go to the post. All that stuff. At Naeem Fazal. If you don't know how to spell it, it's NAEEMFAZAL. You're probably looking at it on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Like, I know how to spell this.
You can, or Google me. Sure. Google knows.
Google. Yep. All right. Cool. Awesome. This was great. Thanks, Naeem.
Thanks, Vinny.
Talk to you guys soon.
Later, guys. Bye.